My name is Suzanne Flohr and I'm interviewing Caroline Allen on the 27th of January 2026.
Hello, I'm Caroline Allen and I used to be Caroline Langtree, and I've lived in the village for most of my life, on and off. I was born in Hambledon and grew up in Church Lane. And I'm going to talk about my memories of my childhood as a butcher's daughter. Started by looking at the famous picture on the front of the Ladybird book's version of a children's story, which shows Hambledon High Street with a baker's shop on the left looking up to the church. In the story, the little red hen brings her flour there to be made into bread. The baker stands outside the shop waving to the little hen. This shop actually was, as far as I know from the early 1900s, a butcher's and not a baker's. The sign above the shop front still says W.H. Langtree. W.H. Langtree refers to my grandfather, William Henry, whom I never knew. When I was born, the shop belonged to my father, Reginald William Reg.
And Caroline, can you describe what the shop looked like? Can you take us back in time? What would we have seen if we stood outside the shop back then?
Well, strangely, above the shop itself, there's a porch, which is now tiled, but which used to be covered with an old thatch and a variety of wild flowers. They were weeds, really, but it looked splendid up on the roof of the porch. The old shop shutters are still there, and the huge meat hooks from which the sides of meat would have been hung outside. The inside of the shop is now a private residence and has been made into a cosy room. It used to house two large butcher's blocks, a walk-in fridge, mincing machine, sausage-making machine, scales, and a deadly-looking array of knives and saws. Carcasses hung around the walls, some wrapped up in their mutton cloth vests, and customers would be able to watch exactly as the cut of meat or leg of lamb, pork chops, kidneys or liver were cut from the carcass.
Caroline, can I chop in here? What is a mutton cloth vest?
I presume it's made of cotton, thin cotton, like a gauze, almost like a bandage. And lamb in particular used to come from the meat market wrapped up in a vest made of very thin cotton.
Was it to stop flies to
I presume it was, yes. Mm. Yeah. And actually these covers were then reused in the making of dripping, or in the storing of dripping.
Oh.
Is it going?
Yeah.
At the back of the shop were the remains of the animal pens. Live animals were kept in these until it was their turn to be slaughtered. The slaughtering and the keeping of live animals wasn't done in my lifetime, although there were still some very gruesome-looking slaughtering tools hanging in what had become my grandmother's washroom. My father used to drive three times a week to a meat market in Portsmouth, where he bought the meat ready processed. And when I say processed, it was still fairly rough, just cut into sides. So it would be a whole pig cut in half and then hung up.
And did your dad have help in the shop? He was not by himself, was he?
No, my grandmother helped him, my mother helped him, and he always had a driver who delivered. He used to deliver the meat in the early days, and he had lots of different drivers and a boy who used to go on a bicycle and deliver meat to quite outlying places.
And your family, did you live above the butcher's shop?
No, I didn't. The house at the back of the shop was lived in by my grandmother, who was Winifred Caroline, and my two aunts, Beryl and Grace, or B&G as we knew them. My mother, father, brother Mark, and I lived in Beach View around the corner in Church Lane. Reg, my dad, was born in 1919 and grew up knowing how to slaughter, prepare and deliver meat for the village. And although it was his boyhood wish to join the Navy, when the Second World War came, he was called up and had to join the Army. and sadly soon after this, his father died, not as a result of war, but of throat cancer. This was when my grandmother stepped in to run the business. She, together with the aunties, kept things going until Dad returned at the end of the war. In due course, my father married Pam, and I was born in 1952, and my brother Mark in 1954.
I remember you told me there was a slaughterhouse behind the shop.
Gruesome sounding, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. The house behind the shop and my grandmother's garden became a second home to us, so it was so easy for us just to run down the road and end in. I don't think that the old animal pens and the slaughterhouse, as one outbuilding was called, held any negative associations for us. We just didn't think of it. The only place where we were forbidden to play was the room with the huge walk-in fridge, even bigger than the one in the shop. And I suppose this was in case we got trapped inside it.
And your dad didn't only sell beef and pork and lamb, I think he also sold chickens, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, he sold chickens, which he would get from local farmers, and sometimes pheasant and hare, mm-hmm. rabbit, those sort of things that he got from people. And also he used to do deliveries in the evening after the shop was shut. He usually had someone to help him in the day, but sometimes he had to go out delivering, and occasionally I'd go with him. And the area of delivery was quite large for then, and often took us to outlying farms and houses around Chidden, Hoegate, Glidden and Scotland. And I remember one evening, when I must have been about 5 or 6, we went to a farm to pick up some chickens. I was told to wait in the van. Eventually, Dad and the farmer emerged and loaded up the van with dead chickens. I presumed their necks had been wrung, but I didn't really take much notice until we were back on the road again and I heard a scuffling noise from the back of the van, turned round, and the chickens were moving, clenching and unclenching their feet in a dance-like movement. Dad explained that that's what they often do when they're first killed.
You also mentioned your grandmother, who played quite a part in the shop. Could you tell us a bit about your granny?
Yeah, my biggest memory of her, I suppose, is her in her washroom. She always said she loved washing and ironing, and she must have done because she'd had to do so much of it, she didn't complain. But the washroom was in an outhouse at the back, and inside it was a huge stone copper with a fireplace in the bottom of it and a pump to draw water up from the well, an old mangle for removing excess water from the clothes. The water in the copper was heated by a fire in the bottom, all modcons. My father wore a blue cotton coat, on top of which was a starched white apron, again made of thick cotton, rather like the texture of modern denim. This white cotton apron had to be changed every day, and the underneath coat several times a week. So as you can imagine, washing was a major activity, and one which my grandmother refused to hand over to anyone else until she became really elderly and frail. In fact, Gran didn't give up her very active role in the shop for many years after Dad's return from the war. I remember her in the evenings sitting by the fire and writing up the ledger. She always did this in pencil, in the most beautifully neat handwriting. It detailed the customer's name, what they'd bought, how much it cost, and most importantly, whether or not it had been paid for. Many customers paid for their meat monthly, and they had a small red book with details of all their purchases for the month, these details all handwritten by Gran. At this time, she still worked in the shop, taking money and doing the books. She also made dripping. People used this for roasting and even for spreading on bread. We had to keep warm in that time before central heating. I sometimes used to help her with this, but I must have been more of a hindrance than help, as the suet had to be melted, boiled and then cooled, all very dangerous with the help of a young child.
And you also mentioned that your dad made sausages.
Yeah.
Famous Hambledon sausages.
Sometimes I was allowed to help with the sausage making. And Dad had a secret, in inverted commas, recipe, which he passed on to Richard Clark before he retired. I don't know who Richard passed it on to, but I do remember some years back that sausages made to a special Hambledon recipe were on the menu at the Vine. I don't know what the recipe was, but I was sometimes asked to mix the ingredients by hand in a huge mixing bowl and to put in the minced fork and then feed it into the sausage machine. You had to watch out for your fingers for the skins to go on. The strings of the sausages were then plaited, and I was never very good at that bit and was told to let Dad do it.
And your mum, was she also involved in running the shop?
When Gran became too frail to work in the shop itself, then Mum took over. She didn't do any actual butchering, but would deal with the till, taking the money, giving the change and answering the telephone as more and more people ordered in advance. She enjoyed the company, but not the cold. For the shop to be hygienic, it had to be kept cool, and chilblains were definitely a feature of working there. Mum also took over the washing and help, and with the help of the newest labour-saving device, a twin-tub washing machine and tumble dryer, she managed to get the overalls nearly as white as her mother-in-law had done in the stone copper.
And part of that hygiene was also scrubbing the floor on a Saturday.
Yeah, scrubbing the shop on a Saturday evening was a family affair. We all had to help. The aunties, my brother, Mum and Dad and me, all set to work once a week and scrubbed everything. Floor, walls, blocks, utensils and knives. We used soda in very hot water. And as there were no rubber gloves, it made your hands really red and sore. And they were just about recovered by the next Saturday when it all had to be done again.
So you more or less worked all week round. You said your dad never took a holiday, didn't he?
No, he only closed it when I was married for a day, but he didn't have a holiday. They hadn't been on holiday since their honeymoon in Hailing Island, with 4 days, and then back to the shop.
And you also mentioned that after a hard day work in the shop, he would go out to the allotment and you would go and help.
Yes, he had an allotment, which was up next door to the vicarage then, and he used to grow vegetables for us, for our family and for the aunties and gran. And every evening after work, when it was light, he would go up for half an hour and we used to go try and help him and play in the allotments there. So he kept us self-sufficient in vegetables, 2 families worth.
And when you were old enough to help, you would also help in the shop, is that right?
Yeah, when I was old enough to be useful, I had the Saturday morning job in the shop, which gave Mum a day off from the telephone in the till, and I was paid 2 and 6 pence. And this was invaluable for me, not just in earning pocket money, but in handling money, giving change, and learning to speak confidently to all sorts of people. And looking back, it was a hard life for the adults involved, keeping the shop going. It involved rigorous timekeeping. Both households ran their whole day around shop opening and closing hours. It was hard physical work and had needed a huge sense of commitment.
Mm-hmm. When was the shop finally closed?
In the early 1980s, when my father was old enough to retire, and he did, because it was, as I say, hard physical work, and they moved to Denmead. Because they wanted a bungalow. There were no bungalows in Hambledon, so they packed up and moved off to Denmead. I think he missed it. I think he missed the company of people coming in and out every day.
What a beautiful glimpse of the butcher's shop in Hambledon. Thank you. Caroline, you also mentioned the winter times, the Christmas times in Hambledon.
Well, they were fun. We had the one I particularly remember, which lots of people will do, was the one in 1963 when it started snowing on Boxing Day in the afternoon, and didn't really clear up until almost Easter. And we were pretty much snowed in. I think some people could get out of the village, and Dad did, actually, had to go to, still to meat market, but he did manage to do that with his van. But we, who had just started secondary school, didn't go for weeks on end, which was lovely for us. And we just played in the snow and sledged on the hill. And we dug tunnels out of Hog Lane, all the way along Hog Lane. We dug a snow tunnel, because the snow was hitch high then. We used to have sledging on Speltham Hill, which was quite dangerous, really, on the very steep part.
Do you mean down the road that we now...
No, on the grass. Very steep grass bit. We used to go up then. Very few had proper sledges. It was all on tin trays or pieces of old lino, anything we could find. So that was lovely. The whole village was pretty well self-sufficient then. As I think it has been with the floods, it was the same kind of feeling.
And you said sort of winter time, Christmas time, you have fond memories of carol singing.
Yes, the Women's Trefoil Guild, who was an adult branch of the Girl Guides, they were the ones, I think, who started it. And we used to meet every evening during the week before Christmas. We used to meet outside the post office. Lot of children and adults, and we would go carol singing almost to every house in the village. And sometimes if the owner of the house was having a party, we'd be invited in to sing to all the guests. We'd be allowed to have mince pies and punch or something stronger. And then we'd end up at the vicarage to count the money at the end of the evening. But it was pretty exhausting, really, because it was every single night for the week before Christmas. And then there was the carol service, the choir carol service, and the Christmas Day services. So it was a lovely time, really special time.
And on Boxing Day, there used to be hunts?
Yeah, the meet. They used to meet, the hunt used to meet at the bottom of the high street, where the George pub used to serve them with, I think they called it a stirrup cup, something warm and alcoholic to keep them going before they set off. And that was a big feature of Boxing Day, and huge fun to go down because everybody came. And I can remember thinking how huge the horses were when we were quite small. But that, Boxing Day meet was something.
And for your dad and the shop, Christmas was also a very busy time, wasn't it?
Yes, and he was, looking back, he was completely exhausted by the time Christmas Day came. And still, on Christmas morning, he'd have calls from people who suddenly discovered they'd got extra guests and could he bring an extra piece of pork, beef or lamb or... So he worked really hard.
And people did bring him birds, didn't they? Pheasants.
People would bring pheasant that they...
To him?
To him, so that he could pluck them and deal with them and hang them sometimes.
Mm.
Because they didn't eat them straight away, did they? They used to hang them up. And I can remember he was supplying turkeys to a lot of people in the village, and we had to help pull out... I don't know what they're called, probably sinews or... But we had to pull them out of the legs by hand. And I can remember my brother and I helping to do that and to pluck the chickens. That's one thing I remember, is the smell of burning chicken feathers, which is awful. It's something I really hated. Didn't mind anything else much, but that was a horrible smell.
No, thank you so much for bringing it alive.
Thank you for coming.